your bulletin. So if you just want to have your the inner fold of your green bulletin open, there are the verses that we'll be needing today there. We've been doing a series of messages on the family entitled Our Home, and the title of this morning's message is Good Words. Let's ask God's help. Dear Lord, we ask that as we come and look at the book of Proverbs, that we might gain the wisdom here for good words in our families, in this church, in our workplaces, and with our neighbours. Lord, help us to speak the way that you would want us to speak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you tell someone bad news? Well, you don't start learning communication at the time that you need to tell someone some bad news. One time I was present when a police officer had to deliver some bad news. The officer dropped the bad news like a ton of bricks, you know, just dumped it. Then the officer turned to me and said, there's no good way to tell bad news. Maybe there is no good way, but there are bad ways and there are better ways to tell bad news. Friends, good communication is a life skill that will improve all your situations and all your relationships. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14 says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. What we say, how we say it, and when we say it, all have consequences for our lives, for good or for evil. That same verse in a paraphrase says, from the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. Just as we're paid for our work, so there will be fruit from our lips. We must realize words matter. Either words are good or they are bad. Either words help or they hinder. Either words hurt or they bring health. Either words bring life or they bring death. Good words, we must realize, help all our situations and all our relationships. And further, we need to see good communication is a skill from the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 1 says, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. A good answer is from the Lord. No matter how much we plan and prepare, if we say it right, that's from the Lord. And if we will choose good words, we need to depend on the Lord. Perhaps the Bible book that most helps us with good communication is indeed the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs nails for us two aspects of good words. This morning we're just going to have time for the first. That is, the first aspect of good words described by Proverbs is how to choose good words. Choosing good words has nothing to do with your ability at Scrabble. Choosing good words has everything to do with your relationship with Christ, with your maturity in Christ, and the closeness of your walk with Christ. As we watch Proverbs describe the choice of good words, we'll see what we're looking at is not mere words, but the fruit of a godly Christian life. So let's have a look at what good words depend on. There are seven factors. The first factor in choosing good words begins with righteousness, truth. Good words depends on truth. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 12 and verse 17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness. 14 and verse 5. A faithful witness does not lie. And 16 and verse 13, righteous lips are a delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. Truth and righteous words are a delight. They're a delight to all who hear them, especially those in authority perhaps who don't hear them that much. The beginning of good words is truth. Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Truth, righteousness, we're commanded to be, according to Ephesians verse 4 and 15, speaking the truth in love. I was shocked when I heard a trusted person tell a lie in my presence recently. Because they were trusted, I would have believed what they told me were true. It must have hurt me some because that night I dreamt, and in the dream I said to them, "How can I trust what you say?" You see, that's the issue. A failure to tell the truth is a breach of trust. Failure to tell the truth damages relationships. Good words begins with righteousness and truth. You can either choose brilliant white, or you can choose some shade of grey in regard to your truth. White truth is good words. Grey information is bad words. This morning, which would you choose? Words hurt or words heal? You choose. The second factor in choosing good words. Choosing good words depends on wisdom. Depends on wisdom. Proverbs 15 and verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Anyone can learn a Bible verse, but the wise in heart knows how and when to use that Bible verse. How do we get such wisdom? Well, may I suggest, with Solomon, according to Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear God. Read the scripture. Seek him, and he will give the wisdom that we need to speak truth in a wise way. Proverbs 15 and verse 7 says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. Wisdom disperses knowledge. It doesn't hide truth. It doesn't hold truth back. But it knows how and when to speak. As Proverbs 16 and verse 23 affirms, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Also, Proverbs 18 and verse 4 says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Now, that means that there is a depth to the words of a wise man. Foolish people are shallow. Wise men, there will be a depth to their words. And also, the rest of the verse says that like a flowing stream, like a fresh stream, these words are going to bring refreshment and life to those who hear it. Good words are both wise and true. I heard of a wife who tried to witness to her family in an unwise way. And unfortunately, one of the now grown-up children said to me, "We just had it crammed down our throat." The wise man builds bridges of love that will take the weight off, that will bear, that will withstand the truth when it is spoken. Building bridges of love does not have to take forever. Remember, Rob shared with us a few weeks ago with a woman at the well. Jesus was able to build bridges of love to that Samaritan woman in just a few minutes. And then when he spoke the truth, she was prepared to listen. Having the truth does not guarantee good words. It begins with the truth, but having the truth does not guarantee good words. They must be spoken also with wisdom. Either you speak truth in the wisdom of God or you speak carelessly. You can speak truth carelessly. You choose. Words hurt or words heal. You choose. The third factor involved in choosing good words. Good words are flavored with grace. Good words depend on grace. They add flavor like salt to an egg. This is the other side of Christ's grace and truth. Proverbs 22 and verse 11 says, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Grace and truth. We see the godliness of grace and truth right throughout the scriptures, but it is no more apparent than with our words. They wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of the Lord's mouth. Proverbs 25 and verse 15 says, "By long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone." Grace and truth are effective communication. When we speak God's way, we invest our words with God's power so that a gentle word will break a bone. This is good to remember in witnessing. When John Mackay was here at the beginning of December, there was a couple out here at the front speaking with him afterwards, also chatting to the free thinkers that were here. Only they weren't chatting, they were riled. The adrenaline was pumping and they were gritting their teeth and pointing with their fingers like, "Let me tell you," kind of attitude. That is not grace and truth. That is not godly. And I felt embarrassed that truth was being presented in such a way. Good words are true and wise and gracious. This is from the Lord. This is the character of the Lord. You will live this, and if you will live this, you will start to see the benefits in your family. If you will live this, you'll make a difference in our church. And whilst I teach this, I know how far my tongue, my words, fall short of what God intends. It's easier to teach this than it is to live it. But we all want my desire today. I choose truth and wisdom and grace. What do you choose? Words hurt or words heal? You choose. The fourth factor in good words, in choosing good words, choose a few carefully chosen words. A few carefully chosen words. Good words depend on a few carefully chosen words. There are many scriptures that say, "Think twice, speak once." Like the carpenter, you know, they have to measure twice, cut once. Once you've cut, it's done. Once you speak, it's done. Think twice, speak once. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Ladies and gentlemen, put a brake on your lips. Say it in a few carefully chosen words. Proverbs 10 and verse 32, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." Carefully chosen words means that unacceptable words have been deleted. And sometimes our spouses or friends can help us with this. "A godly man cannot be a motor mouth. He should not be trying to impress people with what he knows." Proverbs 12 and verse 23, "A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness." So if you would put a guard on your heart, put also a guard on your lips. Proverbs 13 and verse 3 adds, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." And 15 and verse 28, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Think twice, speak once. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." To guard our words, we're going to have to think about our responses. We ought to plan what we're going to say. Think twice, speak once. Proverbs 17 and verse 27, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit." Therefore take heed for chapter 21 and verse 23 says, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." If we don't listen to this, we're going to have troubles. In choosing what to say, choose a few carefully chosen words. Think twice, speak once. Some people talk themselves out of the kingdom of God, just too many words. I've tried to witness to our photocopy repairman. He's an Egyptian Copt. But I say a sentence and he literally motors away for 5-10 minutes. I can't get a word in. That is not a conversation. If you control a conversation like that, it is not good communication. You're trying to say too much. Some people talk like a pilot who's trying to land. You know, he circles and circles and circles but never actually makes the landing. Too many words. Have you noticed how some people have got to say things three or four different ways? You got it the first time, but they just keep going on. Too many words. No, think twice, speak once. Choose the best words to say it and say it once, a few carefully chosen words. If you don't want foot and mouth disease, you'll have to choose to guard your mouth, and I will too. Nolene's dad doesn't say very much, but when he says something, it's worth listening to. A few carefully chosen words gains respect and enhances relationships. Is that what you choose? Words hurt or words heal? You choose. The fifth factor in choosing good words. In choosing good words, pay attention to timing. Pay attention to timing. Good words depend on timing. Proverbs 15 and verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. Those words, in due season, means at the right time. And thus, a paraphrase of verse 23 puts it this way. A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Timing is everything. You can choose wise and gracious and true words and say them at the wrong time and have your words rejected. We have a tendency to answer too soon. Like a good batsman, get the timing right. Proverbs 29 and verse 20 says, "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him." Timing is the difference between four runs and getting out. Timing is the difference between having what we say accepted or rejected. I was talking to someone during the holidays who explained how carefully they had to time a request from their boss. Oh, that we would pay such attention to timing in our families and in our church. Lord, please help me to choose a few timely words. Is that your choice? Well, what about this week? Can we remember to speak this way past tonight? Words hurt or words heal? You choose. The sixth factor in choosing good words. In choosing good words, listen well. Choosing good words depends on listening well. You can't reply well if you don't know what's been said. Good words require that we listen well. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. We tend to prepare answers before the person has finished speaking. Or we overtalk someone who has begun to speak. That is poor and often hurtful communication. It is foolishness. It turns people off. It doesn't help. Nor is listening just waiting for the person to finish. You know, you can have that kind of passive listening where the person's not actually saying anything, but they're not interested in what the other person is saying either. That's as damaging communication as jumping in or over-talking. Active listening seeks to understand what a person is saying. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Or in a paraphrase, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. He listens, just says a word, perhaps, and draws out an understanding of what that person is saying. Active listening hears not only what the person says, but what they mean. When you see the heart as well as the words, you're light years ahead in terms of being able to give a good response. Verse 5, Proverbs 20 and verse 5, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. The man who has good words has drawn out an understanding of the issues first, has drawn out the reasons for what the person says, drawn out if there are other issues involved in the matter. Remember the couple that I mentioned from the John Mackay conference in December? They had a good heart, they were wanting to see people come to know the Lord, but in trying to win an argument, they were losing a friend. I don't know what would happen in their house, because both husband and wife were doing this together, if there was a difference of opinion. I think it would be like World War III, both talking over each other, firing backward and forth. They were so focused on presenting truth, they were not hearing what these young atheists were saying. If they had really listened, they would have found out the real problem was not the evidence. The real problem was issue in their lives, like broken families and sexual sin. When evidence is the issue, and proper evidence is presented well, like John Mackay did, people come to the truth easily, like Liam Frohmeyer, that young geologist he told us about. When people hear good evidence and don't come to the truth, there's often other factors involved. Maybe they just don't want to have a God controlling their lives. Active listening looks for the problem behind the stated issue. Maybe taking out the garbage becomes a big issue in the home because the wife doesn't feel cared for. Maybe the husband rejects his wife's religion because she is indifferent to his needs. When confrontation occurs over issues in the home, it may be the issue itself, but active listening looks for statements behind what is actually said, reasons. It looks for what the person is really saying. Active listening requires that we check our understanding too. Do you mean that? When the wife loses it because the husband failed to take out the garbage this week, as he listens, he might ask, are you feeling cared for by me right now? That is far better than a defensive thing where he might say, I've taken it out every week, it's just this week, what are you on about? When the husband loses it because she goes to church again, as she listens, she might ask, do you feel loved by me? Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. And soft words come from really understanding what the other person is saying. The professions require that there be active listening. Really, marriages require that there be active listening. And churches and workplaces would do better if people really listen to each other. For then we will be able to find appropriate words, good words. It's our choice if we listen or not. Choose to be an active listener, for that is going to improve all your relationships and situations. Words hurt or words heal. You choose. The seventh factor in good communication. Finally, good communication requires that you keep a confidence. It depends on keeping a confidence. If you would continue to improve relationships, you and I will need a controlled tongue. Proverbs 11 and verse 13 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. A faithful man, a man of integrity, keeps a confidence. Some things can be repeated. Some things should not be repeated. And we need to understand the difference in people. Some are more private than others. Some wouldn't mind a matter being repeated. Another person would mind if that particular thing was repeated. And I've got to say, I've got this wrong. I have repeated a matter that I thought was okay to repeat. So usually I say to people, now do you just want Nolan and I to pray for that, or is that for public prayer or some comment similar to that, trying to understand what the person intends. Not everyone is the same. Faithful men and women will keep a confidence. Proverbs 17 and verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Repeating conversations has the danger of separating friends. Keeping a confidence is faithful and loving and will heal relationships. Keeping confidences improves relationships. Repeating matters destroys relationships. You choose. Sometimes the good word is to say no word at all. Words hurt or words heal. You choose. My dad was in the British Navy in World War II, and one phrase that he learnt whilst in the British Navy was repeated to me many times as I was growing up. He used to say to me, "Loose lips sink ships." Yes, loose lips not only destroy ships, they destroy relationships. And tight lips not only save ships, they save relationships. One of the great blessings of my marriage is that Nolan and I can talk through the most personal of stuff, and I know that it'll never be repeated. No, not even to Mum. We need tight lips for good relationships, don't we? Now, what we've looked at today are communication skills. Skills can be learned. These skills can be learned by an unsaved person. For example, a psychologist can learn to listen well, but they may not, that is in the office, but they may not choose to listen well at home. You see, the marriages of psychologists break up just like everyone else. So the psychologist can choose to be an active listener in the office, but he may choose to win the argument at home. Yes, a skill can be learned, but living all these skills at once, and we've listed seven of them today, living all these skills at once comes from the Lord. We cannot do all this ourselves. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." What you think is who you are. "And as a man speaks, so is he." Our words in our worst moments reveal who we are, reveal what we are. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." Now when I think of my worst words, I am ashamed of what I am. I stand guilty before a holy God. And I suspect because you're people too, that that's exactly the same. You'd have to say that's the same for me too. So I make it my desire, my commitment, my determination this morning to choose good words, to think godly thoughts, that my words might be good, to speak truth in wisdom and grace, to choose a few words carefully, to choose when to speak, and to listen well, and finally to keep tight lips on private matters. What do you choose? Our relationships are going to be impacted by our choice. Words hurt, or words heal. You choose. And I was going to end the message there, but as I was praying this morning, I wanted to say this. You cannot live this without the Lord. If there is someone here this morning who does not know the Lord, to be able to live these seven factors of good words, you can't do this yourself. You need to know the Lord. I wonder if you'd come to Him today. Would you admit to Lord, "Lord, I know that I am sinful before You. I know my words show what I am. I'm sorry for my sin. And I want to take Jesus Christ as my Savior from sin, that I might have Your Holy Spirit to be able to live a godly life." Is that you today? Would you trust the Lord right now where you are? It just needs a simple prayer, admitting your sin, trusting the Savior. Tell Him you want to live for Him from now on. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray this morning, since the vast majority of us here are Christians, that we would live out what we know is right, that we would speak out what we know is right, that You would help us to guard our tongue, to put a rein on our lips. I pray, Lord, that we would be careful in our families and in the workplace and with people here at church. Lord, we confess we have failed You many times with our tongues. And Lord, we want to come to You today. Lord, we want it to be different. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today who doesn't know you. Oh Lord, may you give them the power of your Holy Spirit to live godly and to speak godly. May you reveal yourself to them today. May they see their need of the Saviour. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.